Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Audrey, I love hearing that. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Audrey Harkonnen.
And this is Back Talk. After we get through all this stuff about the Oscars, and Emilia Perez is gone because of what she has posted, there apparently is some flack about Brutalist as well, that they used AI to augment the speech patterns. And that
right.
3 hours, 3.5 hours and an intermission, I don't think it's got a chance. So I'm betting that Conclave actually slips in.
You think so?
I think it might. It's just at middle of the road.
Okay.
My fave, Audrey, many of the people in our audience don't know about either.
Yeah.
It's called I'm Still Here.
I'll set it up starting with amazing. This is, first of all, set in 1970. It begins in 1970. It's in Rio de Janeiro. It's on the Ipanema Beach. Well, there's two themes going on here, really. The first is the effects of dictators and dictatorial governments on the lives of ordinary people.
Well, how timely.
Quite. But secondarily, this is a Mommy Dearest theme as well, but not in the sarcastic Joan Crawford kind of mommy. It's Dearest Mommy.
Yeah.
It truly is. This is a mother who keeps her family together against unknown forces and against incredible odds.
This is a real story. Her husband, who is Rubens Paiva, was a congressman
in Brazil.
Now we have a dictatorship. And it's on for several years, which is clamping down on people even who formerly were, because they're looking for what they would call terrorists, what we would call insurrectionists.
Yes.
And it affects this family. And it's powerful. And I'm being snarky, of course, when I say how timely. But when you do feel that there are certain elements of your own world that are closing in on you, you can't help but think, here she is. The mother has got to pull this family together.
Right, right. She is on her own because of kidnapping / detention of her husband, pulled out of the family. But what I found so interesting and well done is our director, Walter
Salles.
So he gives us a foreshadowing of this whole story.
That's nice.
In one little scene.
It's a shot.
It is so perfect. It's a bunch of kids in the car. They're cruising around a neighborhood. The windows are down. The music is blasting. They're smoking cigarettes and pot. And one of the girls has a little camera, and she's filming her friends in the car, and they're looking outside. And there's just this joyful innocence of the early 70s. I can relate to this, my friends. We all cruised around in cars. And then they hit this roadblock, the barricade, and people are being jerked out of their cars and thrown up against the walls and searched and questioned out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And that was the perfect scene to illustrate what's to come.
Yeah. I would tell you, I have an image even before yours.
Okay.
It's not as comprehensive as yours is, but it's when Fernanda, who is the mom, she's swimming.
And looks up
the opening
and sees,
shot.
Sees the helicopter.
Barely. It's about a split second of a helicopter going over.
Yeah.
Well, what a great presaging of the military. And then we have several shots of military convoys,
right,
which are dark and menacing. That strikes me, too, about this is that even though Dad is taken away and we never see him again, I mean, this is historical, so we're not giving anything away. He just never comes back. The government will not admit that it has taken him.
Right.
And so this is one of the things that she has to go through. She can't even get to his bank account.
Yes.
So here is a challenge for a woman.
Correct. And in 1970.
In 1970. Mm-hmm. And she rises to the challenge, as the kids do. I think they're great actors.
Yes. Every single one of them is superb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Audrey and I are sitting there, and at the end we ask each other questions about what happened. One of the things I was certain was that Fernanda Torres, who was our lead lady, that was not she at the end.
That was not. And I discovered that as well.
It was her mom.
It was her mom.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fernanda Montenegro, I think, or something like that.
Yes.
Who was in sales, a previous film of his.
Uh-huh.
So that she was popular with him. And both Audrey and I thought they had just made her up fantastically because there was a resemblance.
There was such a resemblance. Yes, yes.
One of the things that really impresses me about this is that we don't get a lot of blood and guts in this.
No. And that is also what makes it so disturbing. The tone is so quiet and paced and deliberate, and it is determined. And it is Eunice. That is the mom.
Yes.
And you think it's slow, but it's not. It's deep. It just moves forward. No, there's not a lot of blood and guts. The only time that you really hear some what would be violence is when she's incarcerated, and there's some yelling, and there's some crying, and et cetera, from other jail cells. But other than that, it's not. Straightforward. It's very subtle.
I think she was held for 12 days and she was interrogated.
Yes.
And she was regularly shown photographs.
They switched up some of the photographs of people that she absolutely knew that she had to admit that she
knew.
And
I think her husband's photo was in that.
I think he was. Yeah.
And as you were talking there, you're reminding me there was one, like that helicopter image, just so brief, when the sympathetic guard takes her down the hall.
Yes.
And they're going through the hall.
Yes.
And as you said, you hear all kinds of noises. They pass a room in which a woman's being waterboarded.
Yes.
This is epic in its own way, don't you think? I mean, there's so much of the family in there.
Yes.
What does it say about her as a survivor, as Eunice, the mom? What do we get to know? And I always am asking about the arc of a character.
Yeah.
Do we have it here?
What I find interesting about her is she suppresses her slow but astonishing discovery that her husband has been a part of these quote-unquote, and I'm doing air quotes here, the terrorists, and he's passing information back and forth. She was not aware of that. She does not seem to harbor any anger or any frustration with it. She just carries on, keeps the family, and tries to find him, and tries to get information about him and keep her family safe.
Very good. One of my favorite home invasion movies is Straw Dogs. This is a home invasion.
Basically, yes.
You have a couple of thugs, or three of them maybe, who are military thugs.
Clothes with weapons, and they just
walk into your home.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't...
Knock on the door.
And you see how cool these guys are.
Yeah.
But she's just as cool.
She commands every room she walks in, every conversation she has, with just the look on her face and how just so in control she is.
I like it that she offers them food.
Yes. She's as if they were guests. Yes.
What would you advise about this film? Now, here we are, but a lot of people hoping for Oscars and so on. But what do you advise about this film?
We've talked about this before. International films are a challenge for me. Trying to read and look at the subtitles and watch the film. This is worth the work because the dialogue is minimal. It is mostly the scenes are set up such that there's minimal dialogue and you're watching her. You can't take your eyes off
her. For people who are worried about the subtitles,
right?
You just don't have to worry about it here because it is a slow pace. Audrey, there's a movie out that we reviewed last week called Detective Chinatown 1900. It's a takeoff on the Sherlock Holmes bit, so it's very good, and Wayne would have liked it. But it's in Mandarin with subtitles.
Okay.
However, Mandarin is like a racehorse. Its rhythm is so fast.
Oh.
I lost a lot, and this is really disconcerting to me. It's a funny film, quite well done. In fact, I thought you and Wayne would enjoy it. But boy, I did not enjoy the fact that I could barely read onto the next line.
Yeah, that's the challenge.
And this one, which is called I'm Still Here. And don't confuse that with, there's even a Joaquin Phoenix movie.
Yes, half a dozen years ago or
I
guess. Yeah. No, that's...
And there may be a song or two out there, so it's a similar title. Unfortunately, I thought they could have had a better title than that, but I figure what they're getting to. This is not the first time that coup and military occupation and so on has been handled, and I have some... Did you find any that...
I went the direction of moms.
Oh, good.
And the strong mom.
Yeah.
So I figured you would focus on the political and, of course, my list of moms here.
I would like to hear some of those.
Well, Stella Dallas. Oh, come on. You got to start with Stella Dallas. There's also Imitation of Life, both the 1934 and the 1959.
Good choices.
In the 80s, there was Places in the Heart. Sally Field did that, where she saves the farm because her husband passes away.
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of women, those qualities of the mommy doers who aren't the mean mommies. They are the strong, and they are the powerful mommies.
Was Erin Brockovich a mom?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so she
would be.
And I had another one that you might not put on your list, but I would put on my list.
What's that?
Grapes of Wrath. Ma Jode.
Oh, wow. I'm impressed. You reached back there, didn't you? You don't do that
often.
But
I wasn't sure you'd accept that.
Yeah, yeah. She's the one that holds everything together.
Yeah. It is delightful to see, isn't it?
Yes.
And now we have movies like Demi Moore is probably going to win for Substance,
yeah,
where women are dominant in the film. So
yeah,
not as if it's the first time when you
right.
have one. But I've never seen one that's as thorough as this.
Yes.
Where she is so exemplary in the film.
And so consistent in her cool and calm. The only time you see her lose it is when she first gets home after being incarcerated. She sneaks into the house, checks on all the kids. She goes to her shower. And she's scrubbing herself, and she's sobbing, and she's scrubbing, almost as though, and now it's done, and she takes a deep breath, and she moves on.
Yeah, and that's the one where the kid is watching her?
Yes.
And what a sad, it's so sad. And she is literally washing her experience from being interrogated off of her.
Right.
Beautiful. So moms, all right.
So political ones.
All right, first of all, I'm such a rube. I was thinking, well, goodbye from Argentina. You know,
yeah, well.
I don't think that fits with a coup, but how related that is to suppression. I just have forgotten that film enough. It's so much of a musical.
Yes. I just remember the musical, and it's just about her. So
there are multiple ones, and there's some that I thought were interesting that were related to the actual occupation, military. Go Ahead, Brazil.
Huh.
1982, Audrey.
I didn't.
One of the worst periods for the Brazilian people, the days of military dictatorship when the Brazilian people against the government were put in jails, tortured, and some of them assassinated by the military and paramilitary people. Sounds like right on the spot, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Resistance in 2019. I'm giving you some that are relatively recent. Yeah. This in 1961, Governor Leonel Brizola leads the unparalleled legality movement. A first in the history of Brazil, fighting for the Constitution. He mobilizes the resistance to ensure President Juan Goulart's coming to power. All right? It's about the risk of a military coup in Brazil in 1961.
Huh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All of this is so much of a cautionary.
Yeah, it very much so, yes. Yes.
And 2018, right around that time, The Virgin's Tower. Get this one for...
No, never heard of it.
Well, these are all ones we probably wouldn't even see.
We wouldn't even get
a group of rebel women that were imprisoned by the Brazilian dictatorship in the 60s.
Wow.
A group of rebel women. I know, that's...
Wow.
I might want to see that.
Yeah.
And then Zuzu Angel in 2006, based on a true story of Zuzu Angel, a famous Brazilian fashion designer in the 70s, who searches for her son, a member of the leftist counter-revolutionary group...
Wow.
Who suddenly disappears during the darkest era of Brazilian military regime.
That fits both of our themes here.
Doesn't it really?
Yes, it really does.
Well, here's one that's more romantic.
Okay.
2013, Reaching for the Moon.
Huh.
A chronicle of the tragic love affair between American poet Elizabeth Bishop, whom I've heard of. I don't know if I've read her poetry, but I've heard of her. And Brazilian architect Lota de Macedo Soares. So it's a real story about their relationship and the 1964 military coup and the first 3 years of the dictatorship take place during the story.
Wow.
So this
is very well documented and very well covered, and I'm embarrassed that I don't remember a lot about it.
And I bet you some of those didn't even come by us.
Yeah.
But what we have here, you do not have to pick up on any of the political ramifications of this movie to appreciate it as the story of a family that rises above whatever happened to it. I mean, they end the story like back at the beach, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
well, they're at a pool and somebody's house, and then they go, they're at the beach. That's very true. One of the other moments that I think is really important is when mom finally gets through to one of the newspapers reporting her husband's disappearance. And so there's a photographer and someone who comes to interview them. They're taking their picture.
Oh.
They're out on the steps in front of the house.
Oh.
And the photographer is telling them to look serious and look somber. And she's saying, no, smile, smile. And the kids are all smiling.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're getting their orders. They don't want them smiling. Well, the regime doesn't want them smiling.
Right.
They're fighting right to the end. Isn't
that
interesting?
Yes. Yes.
The story stands by itself without our trying to impose anything on it. However, it's inescapable that you ask yourself, what would you do?
Right.
What would you do?
Yes.
I mean, I think about the moment we discussed in its movie time, the home invasion.
Yes.
By these thugs.
Yes.
And, how do you handle that? And she handles it beautifully.
Yeah.
There really isn't anything they can do. There are five girls and one boy.
Uh-huh.
And apparently this is the story that he has written.
He has written. The son has written.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
he's
disabled, and you and I couldn't figure out
when that happened. But it didn't seem to color the story in any way. It was just something tragic happened, and there we are. But speaking of the home invasion, I've got to get this one in because this is
do
a
it.
Zinger for
do
you.
Do it.
This is a zinger. One of the security guards that's kind of wandering around the house, and that's after Eunice returns. She's still being very courteous to them. There's a young man. He's standing at the bottom of the stairs, and he's got a stack of record albums in his hand. And the shot is very intentional by him over his shoulder and is showing the record albums themselves. And he's leafing through them. And none of them looked familiar to me because they were South America or something until he gets to the last one. The last one is a progressive rock group from 1970 called King Crimson.
Okay.
And it's from the UK. Not only does the actor or the film sort of ponder that for a moment, but the camera hones in on that. And it's because it's such a distinctive album cover, you can't miss it. And I kept thinking, all right, was it he was curious about this cover? Was he curious about the UK music, like all of the kids were?
Yes.
But he really can't show this because he's a part of this guard. So anyway, King Crimson album cover is in this film, and it surprised me.
And you could argue that they made a bad decision not going to London before the takeover. But they did send a daughter to France.
Oh, my gosh, you're right. The London connection, right there.
Yeah,
that's it.
When you see everything that happened, and she became a lawyer at 48.
Yes, yes.
And defended the indigenous people.
That's right.
It's hard to think, that wouldn't have happened if they had just decamped and gone to London.
Right.
So all of this great heroics would not have happened. So it's very existential. Thinking that, is this the way it was supposed to be?
Right.
By fate, she would then become acclaimed.
Yes.
And the family apparently has just done very well in their resistance as well. Audrey Harkonnen, the movie is I'm Still Here.
I'm Still Here.
And you and I both enjoyed them. I don't know if it's your favorite. It's my favorite of the year. And I'd like to say this is good for anybody who's teen and above in your family.
Yeah.
And actually younger for precocious kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
To see a family story. It's not the Swiss Family Robinson.
Right, right. But it certainly is one of how you stick together.
Yeah. So I think it even might be streaming by now. Yeah.
We'll have to check
But it
out.
Is still in theaters, in a few theaters. What do you advise, Audrey?
Oh, you've got to take a look at this. You really do. Really appreciate that sliver of history and also that tremendous, tremendous... Not only the acting of all of the people, but the story that they tell.
Yep. Coincidentally, after 25 years, Audrey, we're still here.
Mm-hmm.
It's movie time in Cinema Classic
here we are.
In National Public Radio.